Good evening. Welcome to SheerEnjoyment.com. We want to thank Jake Weinman, the one and only Jake Weinman, for his incredible effort in getting this share together, bringing us all together with his leadership, galvanizing his team of Askanim and other assistants, each in their strength and unique talent to bring us together to learn Hashem's Torah every day of the week. Special shout out to Mitch Green. Thank him for his technical assistance, his diligence in posting the shiurim and making sure the dedications and all technical matters are taken care of. This is an incredible feat. An awesome talent in smoothing things over. And likewise, a special hello. Greetings to all of the Choshen Rabbanim who participate in the Shir. Acharon Achron Chavod Kol HaKohol HaKadosh Hazeh, who take out of their precious time every night to come and learn, to hear a vort on the parasha, in Yarn D'Yoyma, Bereshus, and in honor of all of you. Tonight we begin with dedication. Zecher L'Ilui Nishmas Manash Yitzchok Ben Aryeh. May his neshama have an aliyah. Special thank you to the sponsor. And this night as well, this tonight, we also want to dedicate the shir for Refuah Shleima to Moshe Zelig ben Rochel Devoira. May this person have Refuah Shleima very soon, complete Refuah Shleima. Yirtz Hashem, this Thursday is Tisha B'Av. Say in Yirtz Hashem, it has a whole different meaning. Ordinarily, when we say in Yirtz Hashem, we are anticipating, we are looking forward to an event, but we all know that everything is B'yad Hashem. So we say, in Yirtzah Hashem, hopefully Hashem will want. Everything should go according to plan. And we want it to be, and we just assume, we hope Hashem wants, and if Hashem doesn't want, then, okay? Hashem has his plans, but when I just said, in Yirtzah Hashem, this Thursday will be Tisha B'Av, that's a whole different flavor. Because Hashem does not want it to be the ordinary Tisha B'Av when we fast and when we mourn for the Churban Yerushalayim. Certainly it is the Ratzon of Hashem that this Tisha B'Av should be Nepach L'Sasin U'L'Simcha. So when we talk about this coming Thursday, in the Yirtzah Hashem, it has a whole different flavor. In any event, reality is we're getting very close to the ninth day of Av. We yearn for Mashiach, but we have to prepare. We have to understand the nature of this day. Chazal tells us, the Gemara tells us that one of the five things that happened on Tisha B'Av is the Meraglim returned to Klal Yisrael in the Midbar and slandered the Holy Land, Eretz Yisrael, and Vayivku ha'am ba'layla ha'hu. Klal Yisrael cried. They cried. Their hearts melted. They believed the slander of the leaders. It's interesting. People put their faith in leaders. People have a yearning to trust leaders. And when leaders betray the people, it is a tragedy that is beyond belief. Part of the tragedy of Tisha B'Av is not just that the people, they cried. It's they were betrayed. They were betrayed. The leaders betrayed the people. They came back and they issued a slanderous report. And, you know, it's a big topic of discussion. Why were the people guilty? Why were they guilty for crying? They were just listening to what their leaders, these were the Nesi'im, they were listening to what they told them. They said, the land is no good, it's impossible for us to go. The Nesi'im were not in a position of leadership for nothing. They were appointed. They had the will of the people. I don't know if we know exactly how they were appointed leaders. Was it Firuach HaKodesh? Was it more of a Was there a democratic process in play as well, where people accepted them, voted for them? Was it a combination? Whatever it is, they were deceived. They were betrayed by their leaders who told them information that was sheker. And you know, that speaks volumes. That itself is an incredible tragedy about the Day of Tisha B'Av, is where leaders betray their people. And they cried. They cried the entire night. Hashem said, because you cried for nothing, the day will come when I'll give you what to cry about. You'll cry about the Churban Beis HaMikdash. The day is a day of crying. This is the essence of the day. This is where it all starts. A day of crying. It's very interesting that in the Torah, we find many individuals, groups of people who cried. Let's just, you know, talk about it. Let's just look over some individuals. This is by no means a thorough, comprehensive analysis of who cried. I'm just to get a flavor. Avraham Avinu cried. Vayavay Avraham l'spoid l'sarah v'liv kaysa. Avraham came to eulogize for Sarah and to cry. He cried. Who did he cry for? He cried for Sarah. It says in the pasuk, Yitzchak. Where do we find Yitzchak Avinu crying? It says in the pasuk that when Yosef was missing, he was sold by his brothers and he was missing. It says, Vayevch, a love of Aviv. His father cried. Simply, we would assume that means that Yaakov cried. But guess what? It doesn't say anywhere that Yaakov cried. And when it says in the pasuk that his father cried for him, Rashi tells us it was Yitzchak. Yitzchak was crying for the pain that Yaakov Avinu had in having a child that went missing. It doesn't say Yaakov cried. Yaakov, vayimoin lehisnachem, he refused to find comfort. But it doesn't say he cried. It says that Yitzchak cried when he saw the pain of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov cried elsewhere. When did Yaakov Avinu cry? He cried when he met Rachel. He met Rachel, it says in the pasuk. He kissed her, and then he cried. Why did he cry? Because he saw up in Ruach HaKodesh, he's not going to be buried with Rachel in Ma'aretz Machpelah. He cried for himself, not to be buried with his wife, Rachel. Leah cried, Ve'eini le'arakos, because she was told that she would marry Esav. She cried about Shiduchim. She did not want to marry Esav. The eyes of Leah were tender because she cried. Moshe Rabbeinu cried. By the Yam, it says, by when Miriam put Moshe Rabbeinu into the water, into the Nile, and then Basi comes along, she pulls him out. What is Moshe crying? It's not so clear. It's not so clear what he's crying about. I don't know exactly. Certainly there's a Medrash that says, I did not do my homework. I do remember that there is a passage in Chazal that says the name Nar Boich is not going on Moshe, it's going on Aaron. Aaron also went to watch with Miriam. The name Nar, who was the Nar? Aaron. Aaron saw his brother was about to drown. Nar Boich. Rashi says it was Moshe who cried. Who else cried in the Torah? Some will argue that Sarah cried. When Sarah learned that Yitzchak was taken to the Akedah, and when she found out that he was taken to the Akedah, she cried. And in that cry, Parcha Nishmasa, she died. It's not explicit in the Pasuk. It's a Medrash, but we have to really analyze if that's the case. We have crying of the Jewish people in the story of Cosby and Zimri, Behema Boichim Pesach Oil Moed, Zachil Hashem. Rashi, I think Targum there says, Targum Yonason, they were saying Kriyashma. It says in the Pasuk they were crying. They were crying. Why were they crying? Moshe didn't have an answer. Moshe did not know what to do when Zimri, with arrogance and chutzpah, challenged Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe did not know what to do. It was a terrible chilul Hashem. Vehema boichem Pesach oil moed. There's a lot of crying in the Torah. I'll give you another example. We find Yosef. Yosef probably is the ultimate. Yosef cried so many times in an emotional state when he saw his brothers. He had to step out. And then finally, when he was reunited with his brothers, he cried. And especially when he was reunited with Binyamin, he cried over the Churban of Mishkan Shiloh that he foresaw when Ruach HaKodesh would occur in the territory of Yosef. So we've gone through many, many of the Ishei HaTanach who've cried. Certainly there are many more. If we take a close look at all of these different examples of crying, most of them, for a very specific reason. Avram cried over Sarah. Yitzchak cried over Yaakov. Yaakov cried over Rachel. Yosef cried over Binyamin. Yosef cried. Yosef fell on the neck of Binyamin. It was Yosef, I did not say correctly. Yosef fell on the necks of Binyamin, the two Bati Migdashos. The Binyamin cried on the neck of Yosef and Mishkan Shiloh. Tisha B'Av is a day of crying. What exactly are we crying for? Who do we identify with when we cry? Hashem said, you cried for no good reason. Abichia shel chinam. For nothing. I'll give you what to cry about. Certainly the person that jumps out is Rachel Imenu. Rachel Mevako Albonel. Yaakov Avinu said to Yosef, I know you have a complaint against me as to why I buried your mother on the road. I didn't take your mother and bring her to burial in Maris Machpelah or to a location that would be Lefi Kevoda, but instead I buried her on the road, and that's for good reason, because the day will come when the time of Golus, the exile, they will pass Beis Lechem, they'll come across her grave, and Rachel Ibenu will go to Hashem, to the Kisei HaKavod, and the Mispalel, and mentioned the fact that she gave the simonim, b'chulu, Rachel mevake albonecha, and in that merit, HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to her cry, and will redeem Klal Yisrael. Rachel cried for the golus of Klal Yisrael. Yosef cried on the necks, Savorei, Binyamin. Gemara asks the question, how many necks does a person have? You only have one neck. And Chazal tell us, he cried for the two Bati Mikdashes, the Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Shin, that was built in the Chilik of Binyamin. Yosef cried for the Beis HaMikdash. This is a very strong affinity we have between Rachel and Yosef. Yaakov Avinu, at the end of his life, he spoke to Yosef, and he told Yosef, don't have a complaint as to why I buried your mother. I buried your mother in Beis Lechem.
Why didn't Yaakov Avinu address Binyamin? Binyamin also would have the same complaint. Why didn't Yaakov Avinu call Binyamin and say, Binyamin, you know, your mother died on the road when you were born. Why, I don't have complaints against me. Why did Yaakov Avinu only present a defense to Yosef? So you can answer simply, Yosef was the Mishnah Lamelech, the Viceroy. Okay, so, you know, he was the person in power, but nothing, there was certainly something much deeper. I'm trying to suggest is there is a connection, a mingling of the tears of Rachel and Yosef. Rachel cried to the Golos of Klal Yisrael. Yosef cried to the Churban Beis HaMikdash. The two concepts of the Churban Beis HaMikdash and the Golos of Klal Yisrael are intertwined and inseparable. A person can make a mistake and think, okay, we live in Eretz Yisrael, there's no Golos. V'shavu v'anim l'gevulam. Today, Baruch Hashem, there are 7-8 million Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, to a very large degree, has enormous power and shlita over the last 75 years. The degree of independence and presence in Eretz Yisrael by Klal Yisrael is just astonishing. There's no Beis HaMikdash? Okay. There's no Beis HaMikdash? Not yet. Not yet. V'shavu banim l'gevulam. Here we are. We have returned. Klal Yisrael has returned. The law of return. Anyone who wants to go is entitled to return. No questions asked. Golus? It's not, you know, it's not what it used to be. If a person wants, he can go to Eretz Yisrael. That's a big mistake. Likewise, what would be if there would be a Beis HaMikdash? What would have been if Nebuchadnezzar or if Titus would have not destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and he would have exiled the Jewish people? The Beis HaMikdash? You get a visa, it's under the control of another country, and you go there to the Beis HaMikdash and you'd be able to mark of a carbon. It could very well be that we're not allowed to live there, we're in Gaulis, but there can be a Beis HaMikdash. Could there be such a thing? There can be a Beis HaMikdash, but there could be Gaulis. Look at the time of the Aseres HaShvatim. The Aseres HaShvatim went into Golos, but there was a Beis HaMikdash. There was a Beis HaMikdash standing, and there was Golos. The Aseres HaShvatim, they went into Golos. They didn't disappear so quickly. Wherever they were, they existed. They must have lived for many, many years until, unfortunately, something happened. We don't know where they are. But at the time when they went into Golos, for another 200 years, there was a Beis HaMikdash. It's incorrect. There's no such thing. The two are intertwined. The Churban Beis HaMikdash, a Beis HaMikdash without Klal Yisrael, is not a Beis HaMikdash. And Klal Yisrael without the Beis HaMikdash is not Klal Yisrael. The two elements cannot be separated one from the other. In Chumash, perhaps there's more, again, I did not do a comprehensive analysis, but Rachel, it's not a pasuk in Chumash, it's a pasuk in Nevi'im. But Rachel is the one that was mevaka al bonero, the Golos of Klal Yisrael. Yosef was mevaka on the Churban Beis HaMikdash. It is the combination and the synthesis of Rachel and Yosef together. The Churban Beis HaMikdash with the consequence of Klal Yisrael going into Golos, and Golos cannot possibly be undone, cannot possibly come to an end without the Shleimus of the Beis HaMikdash coming together, without the reunification of joy of both Rachel and her child, Yosef. Yaakov Avinu went to great lengths at the end of his life to tell Yosef, your destiny depends on Rachel. Don't have any complaints against me why I did this. I did this for you. It's not just, oh, you have a complaint. Yosef, you will never be Yosef. Yosef is the one who cried on the neck of Binyamin. You're the one who will lead Klal Yisrael in being Misabel on the Churban Beis HaMikdash. But you cannot, the Churban Beis HaMikdash cannot be complete without your mother, Rachel Mevake Al Boneha. You and your mother are together. Your tears mingle. Eini, eini, yardunayim. Kina ches, the eighth kina in the numbering of the kina is on Tisha B'Av, is all about tears. All different expressions. Es oinei mi yitein roishi mayim. If only my whole head was a reservoir of tears. Avake iti oilas midwar. I would, one of the expressions in the kina, I would inspire to cry with me all of Klal Yisrael who came out of the desert. There are other expressions here in this kina that bring out the idea of tears in all different ways. And towards the end of the kina, it says one of the most beautiful expressions in the entire kina, all of the kina. Kina ches. Eyalusi li ezrasi tarti chazois. My strength coming to my assistance. Tarti, I yearn to see. I yearn to see the Ribbono shel Olam. Where do we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Shalosh pom bashana yireth p'nei Hashem lokecha b'mokom asher yivchar. Aliyah l'regel in the Beis HaMikdash, and the next words are, Ayumasi b'chol shana imeres hi'hashana hazois. My nation, every year they say it's going to be this year. It is the nation, Klal Yisrael, coming together to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Mokom where he rests, the Shechina, the synthesis of the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, the Kibbutz Goliath, something which maybe is very simplistic for many people, but it needs to be understood that they depend one upon the other, and only when they merge and synthesize do we have the complete picture. So there are two words that describe the holiest place in the world, holiest city in the world. One word is Yerushalayim, and the other word is Tzion. There are numerous psukim in Tanakh that bring these two words together. Perhaps the most famous is Ki Mitzion Teitse Sera Udevar Hashem Mirushalayim. There are many, many examples. Always wondered, what's the difference between the two words? Perhaps the answer is that the word Tzion represents, Tzion comes from the word Tzion, a marker, a Tzion, a marker, a Tzion, like a Matseva, a marker to indicate this is a location, an important location. This represents the presence of the Ribbono shel Olam. This is where Hashem is present. Yerushalayim is a city, the Ir Yerushalayim, with a wall around it. It's a place where we come together. The Kibbutz Goliath, from the perspective of Klal Yisrael, it's Yerushalayim is the Kibbutz Goliath. Everyone's together has returned to their homeland inside the protective shelter of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his city in the walls of Yerushalayim. And Tzion represents, this is the marker, this is the location of where Hashem rests his divine presence, the Beis HaMikdash. Ki Mitzion From Tzion is where the Torah is Hashem's Torah. Hashem nosam lanu Torah senes. It's Hashem's Torah. Udevar Hashem, the word of Hashem, Yerushalayim, from the people in Yerushalayim. They absorb the word of Hashem, the Torah of Hashem. They from there, the people can then, from them can go forth from the Ichud, the unification of Klal Yisrael, to spread the word of Torah throughout the entire world. May everyone who was listening, joining us, wish you all an easy fast. I spoke to someone recently about the expression people say today, easy and meaningful fast. I spoke to a big Talmud Chacham. He says he doesn't know where it came from, the word meaningful. He says, you know, we always said back in the day, an easy fast. Meaningful, you know, that's automatic. It's a given. Not necessarily necessary to say meaningful. Everyone has a meaningful fast in one way or another. The traditional expression is, have an easy fast. Pshuto kemashmoyo. Meaningful, that's a given. I wish everyone an easy fast. And Tisha B'Av should be the blessings of Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is called a Moed, Karlai Moed. It's a festival. It's a festival of tears. There are some festivals where we eat and drink. But Tisha B'Av is a moed, as Chazal say, and Farshim say this, a moed shel b'chia. It's an oxymoron. A festival of tears. How could the word festival, joy, happiness, be expressed within the term of tears? Tisha B'Av in the Torah is, v'yivkuhom b'layla ha'hu, they cried. They cried. And yet the Pasuk says, a moed. A moed of tears. There are tears of sorrow and there are tears of joy. It should be nepach, the tears of sorrow, to a moed shel b'chia, a festival where we have tears of joy in witnessing Hashem's return to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash, which will come together with Klal Yisrael, coming together, doing Teshuvah, being able to see the good in each other, in unifying. Ir shechubru lo yachdas, a city where one and all is joined together, each man with each other, and Klal Yisrael with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful week, an easy fast, and Baruch HaVehatzlacha, and everything that you do. Good night.